Welcome to Thousand Hills Ranch Church. We hope that you enjoy this message and that it speaks to your heart. Let's give it up for David Chronister.
Okay, so I'm going to try to do a little bit better this time than I did last time. I'm a big fat crybaby. I'm just going to go ahead and get that out of the way right now. If you guys don't know me or if you've never been here before, my name is David Chronister, and I've been coming here for a couple years, and I have the great privilege of leading worship here at this church, and I absolutely love it. So today, I'm going to be bringing you guys a message about some times in my life where I feel like God has told me just to saddle up, shut up, and enjoy the ride. And so that's going to be our sermon title today. I hate to use that word because I'm not really a preacher, but that's what we're going to be talking about today. The point of this is talking about staying with something that's worthwhile and obedience to God. Like, I got three stories, three points I'm going to make today. I'm going to talk about meeting my wife. I'm going to talk about some work struggles, and I'm going to talk about a time where obedience completely took over for me and really just kind of let God show me, hey, I got this. And I'm one of those people that you kind of hit in the head with a 2x4, and I got that a lot when I was putting this together. I think my nose is bleeding. I might have a scar here. I got a lot of that stuff to putting all this together. So we'll just jump right into this. And my first point is going to be that God's timing is best. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. Right there, just right out the get-go, he just shows you that whether you think it needs to happen in a day or two, he really don't give a squat. It's all about his timing. And you know, he knows what's best. His timing is best. And if you let it happen in his time, things are going to work out like they should. I was married once before, been quite a while ago. I've been married to my current wife for 14 years now. So it's been a little bit ago. I dated her through high school, and we decided right after high school we'd get married and all that good stuff. And it wasn't meant to be. Never was. I think we both knew it. It's one of them things where we just wasn't going to work. Now, we were just trying to do what we thought should be done. It wasn't God's will. And we were both young. I don't have anything bad to say about her. She's a great mother to my son. She's happy now, and I'm happy now. And so that's really what's important. And all that to get going into this direction here of the first point that I'm trying to make. During that time, I really had that sense of doubt about myself. I was one of them people that just like, if I got the opportunity to get married, I was going to dang well let the woman that I know that she was it for me, and that's all that was important to me was her knowing that I loved her. And I found out sometimes that's not enough. So if you don't learn to speak your partner's love language, it don't matter how much you lavish him with love, it's not enough sometimes. And I had to learn that the hard way. It made me feel like I was a failure and that I wasn't doing things the way I should have. It was all my fault. I just had a lot of things going on personally. I was working for a guy that he just made me miserable. He'd tell me to do something, then 5 minutes later he'd be yelling at me for doing it, one of those kind of guys. I just didn't feel like the me that I feel like today. I was really down about myself. And I was going to college at the time, NOC Enid. I was taking, it was my last semester, and I was taking like 3 hours of guitar lesson and like golf and all them really important classes, you know. I had one real class that I was taking, and it was zoology, I think. I was just filling my time slot, but you know, all this may seem pointless, but I'm going somewhere, I promise. I met a guy one day when I was out on the golf course, and he was sitting under a shade tree reading his Bible. His name was Jim Hines. He wound up striking up a conversation with me for whatever reason, but as I say that, I know without a doubt, for whatever reason, it was God's timing. God wanted us to have that conversation. He wanted him there on that day because the events that lined up afterwards were completely and 110% obvious. I'm talking to him. He asked me what I do, and through our conversation, he winds up asking me to come out and talk to him at his place of employment. He wound up offering me a job. Through that job, I met a friend. His name was Matt Barnett, and he's actually my wife's cousin. We struck up a friendship. Matt's one of them guys that he's not a guy that I would really consider somebody that I would just go up and try to be friends with. He's a big, burly fella, and the first time I met him, he kind of gave me this size of me, because he's a big guy, too. I'm about maybe an inch taller than he is. He just kind of sizing me up. Said something smart aleck to me, and I said something smart aleck right back, and we've been best friends ever since. So Matt, not being one of those people that I would normally, you know, probably try to hang out with or whatever, he I feel like this was all God at work. As Matt and I's friendship grew, he come to like me, and he said, "Hey, I got somebody I want you to meet." So I'm like, sweet, you know, because a part I left out here is that another thing about when I was going through this divorce, there was no female interest in this direction. I know all this, it's probably hard to believe, and really, there was, I mean, I don't know. It was baffling to me. But I was like, okay, you know, so you got somebody you want me to meet, I'll come meet her. We wound up, I got her phone number, and I called her up, and we had pretty good chemistry on the phone. And so, you know, we started talking a lot. Well, we decided that we wanted to meet. And this is where we get to the point of staying with something that's worthwhile. Because from this point forward, for about the next 3 months, things just kind of got weird. I mean, we tried to, we were talking, and it's not like our relationship was weird, but we could not meet. Every time we tried, just something always got in the way. I was playing music with my dad. We were playing every weekend. Most of the time, it was supposed to be one gig. So I said, well, I got one gig this weekend. Let's meet. And then, lo and behold, something happened. Another gig had come up, and it's just like, well, it's something it's income. I got to go do it, you know. And so everything just kind of kept getting in the way. I mean, 3 months we worked on trying to meet. And it would have been real easy at this point just to say, all right, this just ain't in the cards. But I knew in my heart that this is what I wanted to do. Sorry, I did this last time too. I told you I'm a big fat crybaby. But I knew that I wanted to be with this woman, and I knew that I needed to keep trying. And at one point I told her, I said, you know what, I know that you're worth waiting for. And finally we got to meet. And the chemistry was just as good when we met as it was over the phone. I really feel like that was God's timing. God wanted us to get to know each other before we met, you know, before we met physically, because he wanted us to have that bond that goes beyond physical attraction. And obviously, I mean, I'm still physically attracted to this day. How you doing? But I truly believe that was one of the very first times in my adult life where God took a 2x4, hit me over the head, said, shut up, saddle up, and enjoy the ride. Anyway, that's the end of the first point right there. The next point I'm going to talk about deals with some struggles that I had at work. So the next point is that God knows best. And we're going to use Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 for this. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. So I was at work, you know, and I got this job. And when I started off, it was pretty gravy. I'm not even going to lie about it. I mean, we weren't real busy. And, I mean, there was days that I could be home like 2 or 3 o'clock. So it was gravy. I was like, yeah, this is a sweet gig. You know, and we negotiated salaries and stuff like that on an amount of hours. So there was time. I mean, I was, for the first 6 months I was at this job, I was ahead. Let's put it that way. And then we got more work and we got real busy. And so we wound up, you know, having to put in longer hours and longer hours. And I kind of put myself in that position like, okay, you've really been getting over on it for 6 months, so you owe them a little bit, you know. I just kind of put my mind in that state of mind, and we just kind of did our thing, and we worked hard, and we went above and beyond. And more we did it, it seemed like the more was asked of us, more. But nothing was being given on the other end. So we all started getting that overworked, underappreciated, underpaid kind of mentality. It was really starting to affect my attitude. But I was still busting my hump because, you know, if you bust your hump, it's going to pay off. And we're getting these emails. We need to get this done. We need to get that done, blah, 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 blah. Well, one day I'm out getting her done, and something happens, and I wound up getting rode up over it. And it was very, I'm trying to say it nice. I wasn't real happy about it because I felt like it was complete and total BS. And a lot of people agreed with me on the deal. But it really, really screwed up my attitude. I'm not going to lie. I didn't want to go above and beyond. I didn't want to do anything as far as work is concerned. It's like, you know, I'm going to put in the time that I negotiated, and I'm going home. I ain't getting an hour more or a second more out of me. I was so mad that I was looking for jobs everywhere. I mean, I was going around looking anywhere and everywhere that I could. And nothing was coming available. I started realizing, I started hearing this voice saying, I'm trying to tell you something, but you're not listening. I was so busy trying to fix things myself and get myself in a better situation that I wasn't listening. I felt like God was telling me something throughout this whole deal. The more things didn't come available, the more I felt like, okay, God's trying to tell you something. If you don't, sit down and figure this out, you're not going to move forward from this point. While I was putting this together, he sent me this verse, 1 Peter chapter 5, 6, and 7. And it says completely what God was trying to tell me. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Is there any blood dripping off my forehead right now? Because that is as in your face as it gets right there. Honest with myself, I was feeling like I was worth a little bit more than what I was. Man, that's just kind of the way God showed me that I don't know if some of you may have been in that point in your life, or you may be somewhere and you're like, man, this place couldn't run without me. But I realize that couldn't be any further from the truth. There's probably people in this room that don't even do what I do and know more about it than I do. I was just kind of in that place where I was just like, I'm a little bit worth something, and they ought to be showing me that. And God said, hey, you're worth what I tell you you're worth. It's like, okay, I'm listening, bud. I'm listening. God. I readjusted my attitude, and I cleared the air with my boss, kind of let him know what I was feeling. Yeah, and I found out that he wasn't, relay the entire truth about the situation. Hindsight, it could have been handled better by them. He admitted that to me, so that made me feel better too. So it helped me readjust my attitude, and I started kind of getting back into my group and doing what I do. And I just decided I better shut up and listen to God. And then we got even busier. I've always worked hourly jobs. This is the first salary job I've ever had. So we got busier and busier and busier. And in the past, when money's gotten tight for me, I've been able to go out because I've worked hourly jobs. I can put in extra time at work, or I can go out and find something else to do on the side. I've sprayed yards, mowed yards. I've drove a truck and all kinds of different things to earn extra money. But I just couldn't do that because this job was taking up so much of my time. So I thought, well, if there's ever been a legit reason to go out and look for another job, not being able to support your family, that's legit. Maybe it's time to start looking again. Still, nothing comes available. So I felt like God was saying, just stick it out. And money continues to get tight, And then I'm starting to worry about this stuff and a lot. And we were preparing a song one week, and the song was called Don't Worry About Nothing, Pray About Everything. And it's actually a Bible verse, Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ. All right, okay. I'm listening, God. I'm listening. We're moving on, chugging along. And this job opportunity just comes out of nowhere. And this job was an hourly job, and this job was going to pay me about 1.5 times my salary that I was making. So it's more money right off the bat. It's an hourly job. And I'm like, okay, he's got me. He's taking care of this. So as I'm thinking about taking this job, visiting with my wife about it, and I'm seeking counsel from godly people about it, and the more I visited with everybody about it, the more it didn't seem like it was right. And I'm like, what? There's a few reasons. The number one reason, there was 2 Sundays a month where I would no longer be able to do this great honor that I have. It was going to take away from my service to God. 2, my kids are kind of to that age. Does anybody feel like, any moms in here feel like that their kids pushed them a little harder than they pushed their dad? Yeah. We got one honest mom in here, for real? Okay. Because, there's something about that bear voice that dad gets every once in a while. And kids are like, I'm sorry. At least that's the way it was in my house. There was a thin line between fear and respect for my dad, and he ran right on the line of fear. You respect me or fear the consequences. I said, yes, sir. I didn't feel like being gone from my family was the right thing. And being away from my wife at night, it was a shift work job, so it's going to take me away from home at night. And I didn't feel like that was right either. So I'm just like, really? 1.5 times hourly? I mean, this is it. This could take care of my problems. And God said, no. Are you serious right now? You're saying no. And he says, yeah, no. Okay. All right. Whatever. You got this. And then back in February, we went down to the leadership conference. It's called C3. And while we were down there, I got an email on my work phone that showed that we were going to get a pretty good bonus. And when I saw it, I was like, I didn't think it was real. So I waited till I got back and I called my boss and I said, hey, is this for real? And he's like, yeah, that's for real. So to me, at that moment right there, this blessing came out of nowhere. And it was something that, I mean, it was way above and beyond anything I thought I'd ever be able to, I'd ever get as a bonus. And so I feel like at that moment, that was God saying, see, I told you, I've got this. At that moment, I felt like that was my reward for staying and obeying. Now, some people may look at that and be like, well, you know, that was a company-wide bonus. Yeah, it was. But what matters to me is that I feel like God rewarded me for my obedience and my listening to Him. That's another one of them shut up, saddle up, enjoy the ride kind of moments. And then point number three is this. The obedience pays off. And I've used the Malachi 3 verse 10, and this has to do with tithing. But the reason I'm using this is because this story deals directly with me obeying the call of God to pay my tithes. It says, bring all tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Now, and I've had people tell me this is the only place in the Bible where God says, test me. And because most times it says, don't tempt the Lord. But I felt like that verse was pertinent to what we're about to talk about. We hadn't been coming to church here very long. We started in February, so we heard the relationship series and all that stuff. And actually, God healed a relationship in our life at that point in time that had been broken. So, you know, He'd been speaking to us from the start of coming here. We heard that message on tithing, and I'm just going to speak honest with you guys. There's been time, I mean, a lot of times in my life where I've been paying my tithes and things like that. But the first time anything comes up, I'm like, well, the church isn't going to evict me if I don't pay that, right? So, I mean, the first thing I do is like, well, we're going to have to quit paying tithes. I've done that so many times in my life, it's not funny. And we come in and we heard that message, and God laid it on our hearts again, like, look, guys, it's time. And so we went home and we discussed it, and we kind of set ourselves out a time frame. Okay, we're gonna do this, and we're going to stick with it this time. We had our time frame, we was getting ready to start, and lo and behold, here comes this opportunity. We were going to have to take out a loan with the bank to do it, and we're like, but with something that we wanted to do, we're like, okay, well, let's go do it. So I went and I got approval, and they're like, yeah, just come in and sign papers. All I had to do was go sign papers. I drive around a lot with my job, and I was driving around thinking about this, and I kept hearing that voice again, saying, every time you decide you're going to pay me money, you're going to give me back my share, you always wind up creating more of a burden for yourself. Every time that happens, you're in a good spot when you create that extra burden. But when you get in a rough spot, first place it comes is from me. I just heard clear as day, don't. So we decided not to. We decided, and I feel like God, you know, God told me to just take that money that you were going to pay for that loan and give it to me. And I'll say this too, that it wasn't exactly 10% of my income. But God said, give it to me, and I'll show you what I can do. So, I mean, that's what we did. And so I just said that so that if some of you have that maybe desire that you want to start giving to the church or whatever, it's all between you and God. It doesn't matter how much. It's between you and God. You've just got to make a commitment to Him and show Him that you're for real, and He'll show you that He's for real. And, you know, again, I just share that because this is what happened in my life. We made the decision. We started doing it. And a couple weeks into doing it, my buddy John comes and plays guitar for us. He called me up and he said, hey, I got somebody that is a kind of had this small kind of record deal. He's had a little success in the industry, been in it for a while. He said he wants to come hear some of your songs. I've been telling him about you and he wants to come hear some of your songs. I'm like, okay, that'd be cool. You know, nothing else. Get to meet somebody in the industry. Come up, he listened to a few songs and he heard one that I'd written for my wife. He's like, man, that's a hit song. And then, you know, people have told me that before. That's a great song. You know, I'm just like, thank you, you know, whatever. I don't ever get a big head when it comes to my music or anything like that because it's not me, it's God. But he really liked the song, and so he kind of went on about it. Later on in the evening, we sit around and played a few more songs, and then started kind of talking about how the industry works and things like that. And then they left, and you know, had a good visit. Well, a week later or so, he calls me up and said, "Hey, can you give me a recording of that song?" So I went to my buddy Daniel over here at Moreland and made a recording of it, just me and my guitar, and sent it down to him. And they played it for some guys in Nashville. And then it wound up, about a week later, they called me up and said, "Hey, we're getting ready to do this project with this guy, and he's going to pay us a fee to do this project with him. And we want to take some of our earnings, and we want to take you to Nashville, all expenses paid, and record this song for you." That floored me right there. Because, I mean, my songs are just songs, you know. They're just the stuff that God gives me, and it's how I share my emotions, I guess. You know, when I get in trouble, I just like write my wife a song, and sometimes I get out of it, sometimes I don't. Just depends on how good the song is. That's kind of my judge, you know. Like, ooh, we need to go back to the drawing board with that one. I've just never really had that just feeling about a song like this. It's just that great. Sometimes I listen to it, like, you know, I could listen to that. But these guys, they really liked it. And I'm going to warn you guys now, I'm getting to the point where I was in the first service. I'm getting to an emotional point for me, and you probably hear it starting to come up. So I'm going to try not to bawl and get through it this time. I got to go up there to Nashville, and we're sitting in this recording studio, and they've got plaques and stuff on the walls of all the people that are recorded there. And I look over there, and there's the King, George Strait, the Pure Country album recorded right there at that studio right there. So that was really cool, really, I mean, just awesome to be in that atmosphere and hearing these guys. I mean, they're just amazing musicians, and the end product was so amazing. But not only did I get to go once, I got to go back and record two more songs. So I've got three Nashville recorded songs, and that's an amazing experience, because I never thought in a million years that little old me from Crescent America would be in Nashville recording any songs. So, but I feel like that had to happen for a couple of reasons. I was at a point musically where I didn't really feel like people were enjoying what I was doing all that much. I did an album on my own, and I didn't really feel like, you know, I got the support from my family, not my wife and my kids, but the rest of my family. You know, they just didn't really support me the way I thought they would. Why the people that I've played for my entire life, why are they not being more supportive of this? And playing out and playing gigs, people didn't really seem to be enjoying it that much. And I was just kind of getting to that what's the point feeling. I feel like God sent me there. Because as we were there, these people were looking at my stuff, and they told me, they're like, "This is amazing. You're an amazing songwriter. You got a great voice." These people do this for a living, and they're singing praises of my music. And I'm not trying to brag or anything like that. I really hope that's not the way this is coming across. But I feel like God needed me to hear that, because he knew where... He knew where my heart was. And so I feel like he was building me up to get me back where he wanted me. And then I get the opportunity to be here. Yeah, every Sunday. Good for you guys. So... couldn't do it. I tried. I couldn't get through it. So it all comes down to this one point. This whole message, it comes down to this one point. It's Psalm 46:10. The first line of it says, "Be still and know that I'm God." And I feel like that's just God using his own words right there. It's just saddle up, shut up, and enjoy the ride, guys. I got it. If you guys would, please bow your heads with me. Dear Heavenly Father, it's such an amazing privilege to be here in your house every Sunday. And Lord, I just pray that this message today could speak to somebody. I pray that if somebody's out there and they're struggling with the situation. They feel like they're thinking about walking away from a situation, whatever it may be, Lord. If it's your will, show it to them. Show them that obedience to you will pay off, and just show them that something worthwhile is worth putting in the effort to. Lord, I just pray that if there's anybody in this house today that doesn't know you, Lord, I pray that you would show yourself to them today. I just pray that you would just give them that spirit inside of them, Lord, that lets them know you are there. Lord, I pray that if they don't know how to ask you in, I pray that they would just realize that it's simple. And I encourage you all, it ain't just to know that it's not that hard. All you've got to do is just say, God, I need you. I can't do this without you. Give your life up, and he'll show you he's legit. So, Lord, I just pray as these people leave here that you'd keep them safe. I pray that this word has spoken to somebody today, at least one person in this room, Lord. And I just pray that you would bless each and every one of them, keep us all safe, and may that all that we do bring glory back to you. It's in your precious name I pray.
Thank you for taking time to listen to this message. If you have made a commitment today or have questions, you can contact us at info@thousandhillsranch.church or 580-216-6427. And may God bless the ride you're on.